Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless his holy name. Our God is worthy to be praised forever and ever. Hallelujah. We love the Lord. We worship him. Our God is wonderful. Praise God. Welcome all of you right now joining online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. I just finished welcoming the people here in the congregation. Now I welcome you. Thank you so much for tuning in, participating in God's word and teaching for this evening. It is my wish always for you to hear and see the Lord Jesus and not me. Right now, I'm just the guy with the mic, you know, and a camera being pointed at him. You know, that is all. Ultimately, my goal, my wish is that you would see the Lord and you would hear from him directly. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I like to start on the Word of God right away. I have an extensive verse list. I'm going to try to get through most of them tonight. But if I don't, then it's going to go on to next Wednesday evening. So let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, so much for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, here in your house. There is no other place, Lord, than being in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you have compassion and grace for us. And Lord, as we always say, we love you. We love you for that, Lord, and for so many other things. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will open up the minds and the ears of everyone who's listening and watching right now. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will minister to them. And may every bad thought, may every bad feeling, may every ill will be cast out in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that the enemy will not take away the seed that the Holy Spirit, Lord, is planting in the church right now. I come against it. I bind it in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we exalt your holy name. Be glorified, Lord, this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, I want to talk about the worship of the Lord. In case you want to write that title down, that's going to be the title for this evening's service, The Worship of the Lord. What exactly do I mean by all of that? We're going to talk about acceptable worship to the Lord God Almighty. Or otherwise, learning how to worship the Lord acceptably. And maybe you might be thinking to yourself right now, well, I worship the Lord acceptably, I think, right? The Lord hears my worship, it's acceptable, everything is fine. Sure. By all means, I won't disagree with you, but I do want to point out a few things that I've been led to share this evening as far as worship is concerned. I wanted to talk about this a couple of weeks ago. The Lord steered me in another direction, but I got the okay to talk about it this evening. It has been always God's will that all of mankind would worship God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we need to acknowledge and recognize him as being our sustainer, as being our creator, as being the one who protects us, as being the one who guides us. Our Lord God is literally everything. He is our everything. And that alone demands worship and true worship.
It was even prophesied in the Old Testament during the Messianic age. People from all of earth, all over the world, they all would worship one God, the one true God. Now, in God's church, in the Lord's church, we've generally placed a great emphasis upon worshiping God according to the New Testament patterns by engaging only all those things which are authorized by God's word. Worshiping the Lord how He wants it done. That is the correct way. That is right. And that is what should be continued. Period. I've been talking about this from time to time. Serving the Lord as the way He ought to be served, the way He should be served. Today I'm going to talk about worshiping God and how we are supposed to worship. Everything according to biblical standards. However, I will say this. We may occasionally overlook some other aspects of worship that are also equally important in all of this equation. Therefore, we need to turn to the scriptures and look at some important principles that will help us to understand what is going to be discussed this evening. And what are we going to be discussing? The worship of the Lord. I want to talk about a couple of different things here this evening, or maybe I should call a few. We all have the desire to worship the Lord, yes. I can't see your reaction here on the other side of the camera, but everyone in here is nodding their heads, yes. Do you ever feel as though once upon a time you felt as though your worship was meaningless? Or maybe your prayer life? Or there was a disconnect or a stumbling block between your communication with God, whether it's prayer, whether it's singing, whether it's worship, whether you open up your Bible and you just could not study right. You couldn't read. You couldn't focus. We're going to talk about a stumbling block. The stumbling blocks to meaningful worship. The very first thing that needs to be mentioned as far as a stumbling block is concerned, is sin. May I please have Isaiah chapter 1, and we're going to cover a block of verses. We're going to go from verses 10 through verses 17. And the word of the Lord says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required from your hand to trample my courts, to bring more futile sacrifices? Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbath, and the calling of the assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." Wow. Whew. That's quite extensive, wouldn't you say? This is addressed to the people of who? Sodom and Gomorrah. We already know where Sodom and Gomorrah is right now. They're buried under some water. You know, they don't exist because of iniquity. And here the Lord is saying that your prayers, your sacrifices, even if you lift up your hands and cry out to me and pray, I'm going to turn my face from that. All of these sacrifices that you are doing, I don't want. Rather, cleanse yourself, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away evil from you. And he goes down the list of what they should do. So the very first thing that we must always be aware of is sin in our lives. Now, of course, none of us are sinless. All right? None of us are without sin. We all sin. But there's a difference between sinning in a moment of weakness and yet seeking the Lord for forgiveness with all of your heart. There's a difference between that and continuing to live a sinful life, which is a stumbling block to meaningful worship because it does one thing. As we see clearly here in these verses, it separates us from God. It causes a division between the Lord and us. The Lord God Himself said, I'm going to turn my face away from you. I won't have any sort of pleasure in all these sacrifices that you make. Sin creates a barrier, a block between us and God. May I have Isaiah 59:2, please? But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. So, why would it be that the Lord would not accept our worship, our prayer? It could be something that you're holding on. It could be a sin that you're harboring. It could be something that you're not letting go. It could be whatever. Nonetheless, always be aware of that. Our carnal nature, our sinful nature, always wants to overtake, always wants to rule. Don't let that hinder your worship to the Lord. Amen, church?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's continue. Something else that is a stumbling block to our worship is ritualism. Worship that just goes through the motions in a cold, formal, let's just call it mechanical way. It's, you know, if you've been attending church for a very long time and you're doing it because you've been forced to do it and you're just saying, if it's starting to become mechanical, if it's starting to be something that you're forced to do, it's not going to work. No way, no how. And we must be careful that we don't fall into the rut by allowing our worship to become a mere routine every single time you come to the house of God. You know, we come here and we worship and we sing and we have instruments and we try our best to have good sound because we are offering something, the worship of our lips to God. Our tithes, our offerings is a form of worship to the Lord. When you come to God's house, you come to worship, right? God is waiting for you. He's expecting you here. So now, when things just become mechanical, when things just become, oh, I just, you know, got to go through this, it's about that time, then the Lord is not going to hear. The Lord is not going to have any pleasure in that, you know. Let me show you a brief example right now. We're going to read another set of verses here. Malachi chapter 1. We're going to cover verses 7 through 13. And it says, "You offer defiled food in my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible." Verses 8. "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Or if then to your offer it then to your governor, would he be pleased with you? Would he accept your favorably, pardon me, says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands." It's very important, folks, that we give the best for God. The very best in everything. Because for one, he deserves it. There's no question about that whatsoever. The Lord deserves our 100%. No matter our circumstances, no matter the situation, we're doing it for God, right? But I want to take the opportunity right now to elaborate on this verse here, because right now I spoke about, you know, ritual and formal, mechanical worship, right? But here in this verse, I want you to understand one thing, because the Lord describes several things here that he does not accept. There has been times where I have been misunderstood. I have been confronted in a peaceable way, right, about the reason why I do things. For example, clothing-wise, right? Me, my personal conviction, when I come to the house of God, I put on clean, fresh clothes. Right. I like to have them ironed. I like to have them pressed. I take a shower before I come. I try to look my best. And I do it for God. And very, very often I compare it to me having a meeting with an important official. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a Zoom call with the councilman for the county, and I was home. Well, I was on a Zoom call, a video call, and even though I was home, I dressed up. I just did not put a tie, but I put on a nice button down. I put on a blazer, you know, in the heat of summer. The lawyer that was also, it was the three of us, the lawyer that was included there in the call, he had on a full suit with a tie and everything else. Why? Because we were having a meeting with a very important person. And we respect that person. Just as like as if you, whether you like the president or you dislike the president, if you have a scheduled meeting, you're probably going to put on your something nice, right? Or at least I would hope so. I know I would, whether I like them or not, it's respectful. Now, this is my faith, this is my belief, and this is the reason why I do what I do. You've also heard me say, when I put a dollar bill in the offering basket, it's the nicest dollar. It's fresh. These little things I do for God. I give him my best. Now, I'm not saying that you're bad and you're sinning and you're going down. No. But when I read Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 through 13, the Lord says, "Will your governor show you favor? If you do those same things to your governor, is he going to be pleased with you? So why is it that you think I'm going to be okay with it?"
You know? This is where I get it from. Everything that I do for the Lord, I give it my best. And that should also be towards our worship. That should always be towards when we worship God. We give God our best.
Now, something just came to mind right now that I'm going to share. So when I rededicated my life to the Lord, around that time I was a crane operator. After I left that job, I did several odds and ends, construction work, and whatever really I could find work, because that was around the time of when the economy collapsed. And I was committed to being in church every single time there was a service. That was just me. That's what I wanted to do. And there were times when work got delayed. There were times when there was traffic coming from Glen Burnie all the way to Baltimore City, because that's where my job site was, the crane, there at the pier. There were times that I was not able to go home, take a shower, change, put on some clean clothes, and go to church. But being in the house of God was more important. So straight from work, I went to church. Filthy and everything. And I was perfectly okay with it. You know, I was perfectly fine. I felt God's presence. You know, so please don't misunderstand me that, you know, this is how it's done, this is how it is, and this is because that's not what I'm trying to imply. The Lord just brought that to my attention. He said, remember when you went to church dirty? He said, yes, Lord, I do. So this is why I'm sharing with you. I did it because I love God, because I want to be in your presence, because I wouldn't miss being in his house for nothing. Even if I was 5, 10, 15 minutes late, I came here to worship and the Lord accepted me just as I am. But if it's within my power, if it's within my reach for me to offer to the Lord the best that I have, the best that I am, you could bet your dollar on it. That's what's going to happen. And this is how I choose to do things. I choose to give the Lord my best. And in light of this evening service, we should also offer our sacrifice of praise, all of that we have, the best that we have, for God. Amen?
Amen.
Not mechanical, not in a ritual fashion, or none of the above. Don't let that be a stumbling block. Equally, traditionalism is equally implied here too. It's something that I'm just going to briefly touch on. May I have Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, please? Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he needs not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. There's a whole sermon that I can preach just on this verse, and I'm going to be very careful not to be stuck on this one part of Matthew 15 right now. But I will say this. All of the examples cited come from the time when the Old Testament law was in effect. But these things were written for our learning. And they remind us that just as they were a stumbling block to worship among the Israelites of that time, they are also a stumbling block to the worship which we need to remove this very day. It's important that our zeal to please the Lord, in our zeal to please the Lord, we don't add all kinds of human demands in our worship. That while we may not be sinful of themselves per se, are simply not requirements of the Lord. And ultimately what that does, it makes worship vain. So we must be very careful about traditionalism. Now, I spoke about stumbling blocks in our worship. I want to move on right now and talk about stepping stones to making meaningful worship to the Lord. What are now some stepping stones? The very first thing I want to talk about is an awareness of God. Let us be aware of the Lord. We need to see God as He's pictured in the Scripture so that we might be more motivated to bow down before Him and worship, in true worship, and praise Him for what He is, for who He is. I'm going to give you a small tip right now in how I pray, in how I speak to God, in how I worship God. When I pray to the Lord, I imagine myself approaching a vast room where there's a throne and there's a man sitting on that throne. Why do I think that? Because this is what I've read in the Bible. The Bible gives so many explanations of Jesus. It gives some explanation of the Holy Spirit. It gives detailed explanation on the Father, His ambiance, His surroundings, different men who has had visions of God, like, for example, the prophet Isaiah, right? When he's seen the Lord in His throne. John, in the island of Patmos, who's seen the Lord. We're going through the book of Revelations right now in men's meeting. Who describes what he saw. All these things create an image in your mind. All these things, we all have imaginations. We can all, you know, imagine things. Let us be aware of who God is. You know, and I think about my God. I think about wonderful things about my Lord. There is countless YouTube videos right now of people who have visited heaven. And they go through the explanation of what they saw, what it was like, and everything else. All these things I take into account. A lot of them have a lot of things in common as far as their description is concerned. Let us fully be aware of God and who He is. When we approach Him, let's think of His glory, His aura, His love, His majesty. May I please have Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Praise the Lord. The next thing I want to talk about as far as a stepping stone to meaningful worship is something that maybe most of us might not think about. I thought about this every single time I led worship. At a time when I was leading worship for some weeks, maybe a couple of months, and that is thoughtful preparation. The Lord loves thoughtful preparation. And I have seen the results firsthand of that. The preparation for the music, the instrument that I'm going to play, the cables that I'm going to use. So this is just an example that I'm using as far as myself is concerned. But this thoughtful preparation thing goes back since the early days here, Old Testament days of Exodus. Let me show you. Exodus 16, 22 through 24. And so it was, on the sixth day, that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath, is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Now, let's analyze this verse for just a moment. The Lord instructed something to be done here so they wouldn't be distracted on the Sabbath day, so they won't have to labor on the Sabbath day. Would you say that their works was blessed? Of course, because it says it did not stink. Right? They were supposed to gather food, whatever they needed for that day. Right? Every for 6 days a week, gathered whatever you need, but on the sixth day, gather double the portion so you don't have to go and gather on the seventh. Preparation. The Sabbath day is what? A day of rest? What is it also? A day of worship. That's exactly right. That is the day that we set aside to worship God. Now, the Jews had a day of preparation for the Sabbath that enabled them to be ready for the Lord's bidding and obedience to all of His commands. God hasn't commanded such a day for us. But the more we prepare for our worship ahead of time, the more meaningful it will be for every single one of us. The purpose of all of this, the reason, preparing ourselves for the Lord. Now, let me apply it to today's day and day. What is something that is not required, okay? This is not required of us right now, you know, from the Old Testament. But if I'm going to duplicate the situation, how would I do so? Well, let's say it's a Saturday night. I think if I wanted to duplicate this, I would select the clothing that I'm going to wear the next day, the day before. I have it hanging right over there, so it's ready to go, right? So I don't have to be scrambling and scratching my head. What am I going to wear, right? If you want, you could cook up your meal the day before. So that way, you don't have to labor over the stove and cooking your lunch or cooking your dinner, you know, that day. Right? Is that going to hurt you? No. Right? Is the Lord going to come and strike you down with lightning if you do so? No, I don't think so. No. I highly doubt it. Right. So, but nonetheless, ultimately what I'm trying to stress here is preparation. We can always prepare ourselves for the worship of God. The Lord appreciates it. Let me move on here. The next thing I want to talk about is self-examination. May I please have 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. We're talking about right now self-examination. While this passage clearly deals specifically with the Lord's Supper. We read this verse every single week, or maybe every other week. There are several verses that we can utilize for the Lord's Supper. The principle here in this verse is true for other acts of worship also, right? That we should examine ourselves when we sing. We should examine ourselves when we pray. How many of you would agree right now that taking communion is a form of worship? It is, right? We're all going to agree on that. And the Bible says that we should examine ourselves before we take the communion, because there are some pretty bad consequences if we don't do so. Self-examination is very, very, very much important for our worship life. I even go as far as praying to the Lord fervently, self-examining myself before I study the Word of God. When I read the Word of God, when I research, when I seek after His face, when I'm looking for material, when I'm trying to study a particular region or study the root of a word or try to understand a passage, I make sure I pray. Confess anything that I need to confess, because I don't want no separation between me and the Holy Spirit. I don't want to hear nothing false. I always want to be in unity with God, always. And therefore, it's very, very much important that we practice this principle, not just for communion, but for everything else, for singing, for praying, for studying, and even give to make sure that we are exhibiting the proper attitude so as to make sure that we are truly, truly praising God. We must even watch our attitudes. May I have Hebrews 13:15, please? Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's a little past 30 minutes, yes? It's probably going on 40 minutes, potentially. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to put a pause right here. I'm just going to put a small ticker here to remind me where I stopped, and I'm going to pick up where I left off next week. Praise God. Folks, the Lord deserves our best. The Lord deserves all of us. And sometimes we do certain things that we don't know we are doing. We do certain things unaware. And we think that everything is fine. And my hope, my wish is that through some of the verses that I used this evening, the Holy Spirit will minister to you and show you meaningful worship. We should all give our best to the Lord in everything that we do. That also includes our singing, our clapping, our attitude when we come to the house of God. Come with gladness. Come expecting, anticipating an encounter with God. Many have here in this congregation. And I always look forward to coming to the house of God and worshiping Him and having a one-on-one encounter with my God. I always do. Amen. We're going to continue next week on the topic of the worship of the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we love You. Lord, we worship You. And Lord, we bless Your holy name.
Thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Lord, for your love, your compassion and grace, Lord, towards us. Lord, we hunger and thirst for more and more of you. And equally, Lord, may we give you the best of what we are. The best, Lord, of what we have. Lord, may we offer you everything. 100% of the time. Lord, you see everything. Lord, you see it all. Lord, help us worship you in spirit, Lord, in true spirit and in truth. Lord, we love you, and we will always love you. Blessed be your holy name. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.